Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back in making his seventh appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is Florida A&M head coach Willie Simmons. Let me remind you about Willie's background. He's from Tallahassee, Florida. In college, he played quarterback for 3 years at Clemson and finished his final season in 2003 at the Citadel. That year, he was named first-team All-Southern Conference. 2006, he went back to Clemson to start his coaching career as a graduate assistant on Tommy Bowden's staff. From 2007 to 2011, he moved over to Middle Tennessee State as their running backs coach and later their offensive coordinator. Spent 2012 to 2014 as the offensive coordinator at Alcorn State. From 2015 to 2017, he was the head coach at Prairie View A&M, and this is going to be his first season as head coach of the Florida A&M Rattlers. And out of deep respect and support for Willie, I've got my Florida A&M t-shirt on in his honor tonight, and we are honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Good evening, Coach. Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, Willie.
I tell you what, Chris, Bob, those introductions never get old, man, I tell you.
I'm glad you like it. So, Coach, catch us up. What's been going on as you prepare for your first season there at Florida A&M?
Oh, man, where do I begin? Of course, I took over the job in, accepted the job in mid-December, but I really kind of got to work in the 1st of January and had to hit the road running and try to put a good recruiting class together, obviously, and was able to hire a good staff, guys that had a lot of ties to the state of Florida, and we felt we signed a really good class on paper. We got some rankings from some publications and things of that nature, but we were really pleased with the class that we signed. Had a pretty productive spring practice, kind of solidify some guys and develop some leadership, which is key. I think anytime you take over a program that hadn't performed particularly well, you want to try to develop some leadership, and we felt like we came away from those 15 practices with some guys that want to step up and lead. The summer was very productive as well. We just came back from MEAC Media Day this past week, and of course we were picked preseason fifth, which is they finished about eighth or ninth last year. So obviously got a little respect throughout the league for the job they think we'll do. And of course we reported yesterday, so had a lot of meetings. The president came and spoke with the team, the athletic director, VP of Student Affairs, Title IX coordinator, the counseling services, you name it. They all came and addressed the team and had our conditioning test today. And, of course, we'll crank it up tomorrow with our first practice.
And, Willie, I've been tracking the upgrades to the football field that you guys have there. I've been watching it on the live webcam. It looks like the turf is starting to get put down. Is the new field going to be ready in time?
Yeah, it better be. we don't have a contingency plan if it doesn't. So, but no, they think that they'll be ready to go. Of course, Tallahassee rains every day, and we've been kind of caught between two weather systems the last couple of days. So we've had heavy rain for pretty much most of the day, and I think that's kind of slowed down the construction. But the guys should get back to work tomorrow. They say they'll have two crews working around the clock, night and day, to get it completed, because we actually have a high school game on the 17th of August before we open up at home on September 1st against Fort Valley State. So. But they should be laying the turf down, if not tomorrow, the first of next week. So they're anticipating a completion date of August 17th.
And, Coach, you talk about, leaders and getting your players ready. And you've got seven players that have earned preseason MEAC second team honors. Talk about the players that we should be keeping our eye on this season for the Rattlers.
Well, I was really pleased that those guys had those accolades. Of course, anytime you can be recognized by your peers, other coaches, sports information directors, for the job you did the previous year, it's a huge honor. Of course, our guys understand that the preseason rankings mean nothing. The preseason accolades mean nothing. It's all about what you do once the season begins. But some of those guys, Jabril Haisley, our starting Mike linebacker, he was selected second team preseason All-Conference. Orlando McKinley, the defensive back, he was a senior also from Atlanta, Georgia, was voted second team preseason. Had an offensive lineman, Obina Wankwo, who was voted second team as well. Chris Badul, our punter, was voted second team. And then on the third team, we had quarterback Ryan Stanley. The MEAC has I think, three really good quarterbacks this year, Lamar Renard from North Carolina A&T, who was the player of the year in the conference last year. And then, of course, Cailin Newton, who's Cam Newton's younger brother, is the starting quarterback at Howard. And so those two guys got the first and second team nod. And Ryan Stanley, our quarterback, was a third team selection. So he has a little chip on his shoulder with that nod, but I think he'll have a great year for us. And then I think the last guy who had preseason accolades, if I'm not mistaken, was I'm drawing a blank. Antonio Miller was the second team defensive end for us. He's probably our best pass rusher. So a lot of defensive guys, which makes me feel good knowing that the defense is, has a lot of returning starters, a lot of guys that performed well last year. And, of course, offensively with Ryan leading the way and guys like Obina up front to block for him, we feel like we should have a pretty explosive offense as well.
Bob, questions for Willie?
Hey, Willie, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and good luck this year. And we've talked in the past, Willie, about your own playing career in college, your success at Clemson, and then you were able to have a very unique situation where you transferred to the Citadel for that last year. And you've talked about that before, but remind our listeners about the experience, Willie. Do you take a lot of your disciplinary approach from the experience there, but I'm just sure it's something you'll never forget.
Oh, no question about it. You know, of course, I definitely had a unique route to the Citadel after I decided to leave Clemson, after I graduated from there and had another year eligibility left. My first initial choice was Florida A&M, ironically where I'm the head coach now. Of course, I grew up 20 minutes from here. I keep reminding Chris that I'm originally from Quincy, Florida. Of course, he's going to get me. Somebody's going to call tonight and say that I'm not repping my city because he always says Tallahassee, but I'm originally from Quincy, which is right the next city over. But, of course, I grew up here, and my mom graduated from Florida A&M. Most of my aunts and uncles graduated from this university. My godbrother played football here. My godmother went to school here. So, really, Florida A&M was all I knew. And, it was kind of an unspoken rule that if anybody from the Big Bend area ever transferred, they're going to come back to Sam. And so I attempted to come back. My mother was battling some health issues at the time. And but that was during the time that Florida A&M made the decision to make the jump to Division I FBS. They were trying to be the first HBCU to make that transition. And so at the time in 2003, it was before the current rule that says if you're a graduate, you can basically transfer anywhere and be eligible to play. That rule wasn't in place then. So the NCAA deemed me ineligible to play that senior season here at FAMU. I actually practiced for about a week and a half before that ruling came out. So I was in scramble mode trying to find a school to attend for my senior year, of course, with the season being about 2 weeks away. Fortunately for me, some coaches that had coached at Clemson before I got there were at the Citadel, Ellis Johnson being the head coach. He had been a Clemson guy. Les Herring, who was the defensive coordinator there, had been a Clemson guy. And so there were a lot of ties to Clemson, and they made a few phone calls. And, of course, they were in need of a quarterback. And I was able to get on there. But I tell you what, the experience was a lifetime, something I remember for the rest of my life. I mean, a great group of guys, very disciplined guys, very driven guys. I mean, all those guys are successful in life now. And they embraced me with open arms. You know, I didn't have to do any of the military obligations as a graduate student. But again, I was able to see their day-to-day operations. I was able to see how structured their program is. You know, I was able to see some principles that I, like you say, carry with me to this day. And but one of the main things I was able to take away from my experience there was something that I talked to the team about just this past last night, matter of fact, is when I got there, of course, it's a military school. So, you know, you can't have hair on your face. You got to wear your shirt tucked in your clothes, and you know, you got to wear PTs when you go around campus and things of that nature. And so we got there. I was a transfer. And they were abiding by all those rules. And so I started a little bit to grow. I guess I started to grow a little bit of hair on my face. It was the first time in my life that I got hair on my face. So I was really excited. I didn't want to cut it. And so some of the other guys kind of started following suit. And we were playing really well. We had won more games that year than we had won in probably 10 years. And so, of course, Coach Johnson didn't want to really make a big deal out of it and stress something as insignificant as a little bit of hair on the face. But we ended up losing games, and we ended up going from a team that was about 6-2, and I think we finished either 6-6 or 7, something like that. But we had a chance to be really, really good. But I think just that insignificant thing, like us not following the rule of no hair on your face, began to manifest itself in other ways. And I think that's so important for us as athletes and football players to understand the importance of the little things. As a 22-year-old, I didn't understand how important it was for me to keep my face cleanly shaved for the simple reason that it was a rule at the time. And I didn't do that, and some of my teammates started to follow suit. And we lost a few games that we shouldn't have lost that year. So of all the principles and things that I learned from the military standpoint about discipline, that's the one thing that I've taken with me the most, is that you have to focus on the little things, because we as athletes don't get to decide what's important and what's not. If it's a rule and it's something that we have to do, we have to do it simply because that is a rule. We don't get to say, well, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to do something else, because who's to say that in the middle of a ball game or in a critical situation that you may decide to do something that you think is okay to do and it costs your team a chance to be successful. So that's probably the one principle that I've taken from my experience at the Citadel. But it was a great, great time. I mean, again, I love that place, and I'm definitely excited to see them back on the winning track these last few years.
And Willie, Chris and I were lauding your disciplined approach before we came on here, and we've always respected how you prepare young men for life outside of football. And as far as the academics between Prairie View and Florida A&M, compare them for us, Willie, and are there still similar support systems at both places in place?
They're very similar. Anytime a school has an A&M suffix, it stands for agriculture and mechanical, so they're land-grant institutions. Some of their top majors are, of course, agriculture, engineering, architecture, things of that nature. So there are a lot of similarities between the two schools, a lot of prominent alumni, and a lot of support, as far as the academic support, because they are tough schools. They're not cakewalk schools. Neither school has that cakewalk major that you can just get in and coast through, so it's a little bit difficult at times to get transfers because it's really not a program that you can put them in that's going to accept all their hours. And so very, very prominent institutions. I think FAMU has a higher prestige ranking as far as its academic ranking. It's the top public HBCU in the country and has been that way as long as I can remember. But again, both great academic schools, and I think both administrations understand the importance of providing academic support for the student athletes. Both schools graduate the student athletes at a higher rate than the normal student body, which I think is very important. Both programs provide tutorial services, study table, all of the resources that I received when I was at Clemson and at the Citadel, we try to provide here. So again, I definitely applaud our president, Dr. Larry Robinson, and our athletic director, Dr. John Eason, for understanding the importance of providing these student athletes with resources that can allow them to be successful. Because again, whenever you ask a young man or young woman to devote 20 hours a week to their particular fields of competition, that's taking away study time. That's taking away time in the library, internships, and all type of things that may give them an advantage in the workplace. So we have to find ways to supplement that. And so having tutorial services, having mentors and, big brother, big sister programs and all the things like that really give the student athletes a chance to be successful. And I think that's key anytime you take over a program.
Willie, just a couple of more before we let you go. And just to take that last point that you and Bob were talking about one step further, one of the things that Bob and I love most about you is the focus that you place on developing great young men, not just great football players, but great young men. Remind our listeners why that's so important to you.
Well, again, I think in today's time, it's really being magnified. There have been a couple of coaches who spoke about it at their respective media days. Just the importance of athletics and how it develops, young men and women to be successful in life. There's just so many principles that you can acquire from the game, about sacrifice and commitment, teamwork, unselfishness. And the list goes on and on. And again, our athletic director made a very, very profound point to the team yesterday in his talk. And it might have been the president, one or the other. I think it was the president that said, we've kind of messed it up. talking about the adults now. Like, we put ourselves in a position in society where we've kind of dropped the ball on some things. And we're depending on this generation that's in college now, that's in high school, to kind of be the one to save us. And so we have to develop them. We have to give them the necessary tools to be able to go out into the world and make it better, because if they don't, then it's going to turn over to the next generation. And we don't have many opportunities to get it right. And so we have to do our job as coaches to be those influential leaders that a lot of these individuals need. You know, again, a lot of the guys that I coach, they were here at FAMU, when I was at Prairie View, Alcorn, Middle Tennessee State, or Clemson, grew up without fathers. They grew up without those influential men in their lives that can give them confidence, that can really teach them about what it means to be a man, what it means to take care of your family and provide and do all those things. So that only falls on us as coaches. And we're in a profession now that really puts a premium on wins. Everybody wants to win. But again, our charge as coaches is to really develop these young men to be successful in society, because the worst thing in the world for me, and I tell the team all the time, is that in 5 years, we've got three or four MEAC championships. But in 10 years, none of my players are leaders in their communities. None of them are great church members. None of them are great fathers. That means I failed them. If we don't win any championships, but in 10 years, all of my guys are doing extremely well in life. You know, they're changing their communities one day at a time, and they're being able to give back to the university. Then I've succeeded them as a coach. And so that's the most important thing to me. And I truly think you can do both. But again, the premium is definitely placed on how we develop them during the 4 or 5 years and you know, doing, while we have them.
That's fantastic. Good for you, Coach. Coach, let remind our listeners, how can they follow the program, follow FAMU, whether it's online or we're doing it over social media?
Well, they can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HC as in head coach, Willie Simmons. So HC Willie Simmons is my Twitter and Instagram handle. And then, of course, my name on Facebook is Willie R. Simmons on Facebook. You can follow the program at FAMU Athletics, so FAMU Athletics on Instagram and Twitter. So, again, up-to-date information about the new stadium. Well, new turf. I'm speaking into this new stadium, but new turf that we're putting down. Again, we're introducing some brand new fly helmets that we're really excited about. We hadn't really shown them yet, but I'm excited for our fans and alumni base to see those new helmets that we have. And just the new 2018 football team. I think everyone will be surprised at how this team goes out this year, you know, and plays for one another, that really builds a pride and a tradition back here that we've shared for a very long time. You know, again, I grew up in the age of, you know, Rudy Hubbard when he was winning championships, you know, the first ever 1AA championship. You know, I didn't live in the time of Jake Gaither, but of course I know all about Jake Gaither and the great things that he was able to do here for this university. And probably next to Eddie Robinson is the most recognizable name, you know, in black college football. So, you know, I'm at a program now that has a lot of history, a lot of tradition, and, you know, it's my charge to bring it back. And I think these young men understand that. You know, we've had a great offseason, a great summer, and we're excited to get back started tomorrow. So I look forward to seeing you guys. Hopefully y'all can catch some games this year, and hopefully we can finish the season in Atlanta, and maybe you can do maybe a broadcast from Atlanta during the week of the Celebration Bowl.
Well, we'd love that. So we're rooting hard for that, Willie. And, you know, both Bob and I are huge Willie Simmons fans, and we're rooting hard. We were rooting hard for your Prairie View A&M. We're even bigger Rattler fans now, and you mean a great deal to us. We've been blessed over the years to have you on the show. We wish you continued success, and we look forward to hopefully catching up with you again real soon.
Well, thank you, brother. Hey, do me a favor and take a picture of that shirt that you have on and send it to me.
I sure will.
All right, good deal.
Take care, Willie. Take care, Coach.
Best of luck. We'll catch up soon.
Great to talk to you.
All right, have a good night. That is a great Willie Simmons, head coach at Florida A&M. Bob, I'm so happy for Willie and the success he's had to this point in his career. And I just know he's going to make Florida A&M just one of the top programs, you know, there in their conference and do bigger and better things. What an outstanding man he is.
I have no doubts, just like you, Chris. And it's fabulous to me how the discussion always goes from football to life in general. And that's just the way he operates. And that's why he has as much respect out of at least myself as any coach I've come across. And we'll be watching closely, Chris. You know that.
Yes, we will. All right, we've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. Get to Tony on the other side of this quick station break.